Self-acceptance, finding the gifts in your dark side with Steve Wells. This is part three of the four-part series. As you know from the title, the teleclass is about finding the gifts in your dark side. So in this class, we'll be talking about some of those gifts and why we have held on to certain parts of ourselves that we judge and have trouble accepting. I'm super psyched for this class. It's going to be great. Welcome back, Steve.
Hi, Jess. Glad to be back.
It's great to have you. I want to hear more about this kind of duality, this paradox of loving something and hating a part of ourselves at the same time. So please tell us more.
Okay. Well, the reality is that, you know, we've been focusing in the last class about, you know, those negative traits and those negative beliefs we have about ourselves. Well, in fact, we have both positive and negative beliefs acting at the same time. So for most people, you know, it's just, okay, depending on what day we get out of bed or how we get out of bed today, I either feel like I'm really a good person today, but tomorrow I might get out of bed and feel like I'm a bad person. And it's kind of like, oh, we want to make the good side win. We want to be a good person all of the time. But there's part of us saying, no, you're not so good. And we have both those beliefs inside us at the same time. So part of us believes we're good and part of us believes we're not good at the same time. You know, I sometimes ask people to come up with a negative belief they have about themselves. And you know, such as a common one is I'm stupid, you know, like I'm not smart. And I'll have them make the statement, I'm stupid. And you can actually see them nod. And sometimes they'll nod and they'll smile. And it's supposed to be a negative, but actually they're kind of like, they like it. And they don't have a negative effect from thinking that because they're kind of like, yeah, that's the way I am. But I then have them say, okay, say the opposite to that belief. I'm really smart. And they have a bit of a negative reaction to that. But then I say, okay, how true does that feel? Well, actually, both of them feel true to a certain extent, and both of them feel false to a certain extent. So the interesting thing is that, in a way, part of us believes that we're smart, and part of us believes that we're dumb. Part of us believes that we're good, and part of us believes that we're not. So it's kind of like a paradox. How can you believe two things at the same time? Actually, one of them tends to be ruling at that time. They tend to be driving us, and that's the kind of identity we tend to be attached with. And sometimes we have a really strong identity. You know, like someone might believe that they're strong and they've spent their whole life becoming strong, and so it's hard for them to even think the thought that they're weak. But believe it or not, in everybody, there's a little part of them that's like, oh, you're not so smart, and so on.
This is really great to hear because it shows that it's not all black and white, that we are complex in a sense. Because I think so many people have this own internal struggle and they think they're the only one that is having this fight in their own mind, like this internal civil war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's very, very, very common. Because, and again, you know, if you look back on the sessions that we've done and where this has come from, during our childhoods, all of us have had positive and negative experiences. We've had people say, oh, you're really clever, and we've had people say, you're really dumb. Now, some of us have been overwhelmed with a lot of one side. That's definitely true, but it doesn't mean that we haven't had some of the other side. And even if we have, even if we feel like, oh no, I'm the dumbest person in the world, you know, surprisingly, even that person will have part of the other side that's represented in them. Even though it's speaking very quietly, it's still there. And the reason why is because these things are defined by their opposites, and you can't actually attach to an idea without also attaching to the other side of that idea. If you believe that you're smart, and you've grown up to learn that it's good to be smart in the world and you have to act smart and you have to, you know, make sure that you do smart things, then you've got to work really hard at pushing away that part of you that's kind of like, you know, a little bit dumb. And, you know, if you believe that you're shy, then, you know, if you do something that's kind of not shy, you have to say, oh, no, that's, you know, that was just unusual. That's not me. I really am shy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you mentioned before that someone might say that they're dumb or they're smart and actually smile and say yes. So how does that possibly happen? How do we find joy in something that is working against us? Is it a comfort thing? Is it because it's comfortable?
Well, it's more the smile is more that if you've been constantly told that you are something and you've had that reinforced through your whole life, you're actually more comfortable with that identity than the opposite. And so you're more comfortable expressing that, if you like, than expressing the other. And so that's what I mean by comfortable with that. Robert Cialdini, the guy I mentioned in the last class, he wrote the book called Influence. He says the strongest force in the human personality is our need to remain consistent with how we define ourselves. So if you've learnt to define yourself as stupid, then you have to keep on acting stupid and you have to stay consistent with that. And there's a great force at play to keep you consistent with that because, of course, you've learned that that's the way you are. And if you go outside that way of being, you know, that's going to cause you pain. Funnily enough, people who've had lots of pain can actually develop the kind of belief that they deserve that or that's their lot in life and so on. And there's always in them a part that knows that isn't necessarily true. But the part of them that knows that that's not true may be more kind of intellectual rather than emotional. And that's the challenge. Emotion wins.
Emotion wins. Very interesting. Now, you have a process that you take people through so that they can clearly see the duality, the battle that we have. So can you tell us about this process?
Yeah, well, this is kind of like I started learning about this when I used to have people who'd come up with negative beliefs, just like we did in the last exercise. We had people say, okay, what's a negative belief that you believe about yourself? And, you know, I'll give you an example that I used in a workshop. I had a woman just in the middle of the workshop, she said, oh, I'm just an ordinary person, you know, I'm just ordinary. There's nothing about me that's exceptional. And so I said, okay, let's use that as an example. And we did some tapping on the so-called negative belief, I'm just an ordinary person, just like we did in the last class. So you can do tapping on, you know, I'm just an ordinary person and just tap as you repeat that statement at every point. And you can tap on the feelings of that and the memories of that and so on. And then what I heard this lady do was say, okay, what's the opposite belief to that? What's the opposite of being an ordinary person? And she said, oh, well, an extraordinary person. And she says, but I'm not that. I'm just ordinary. So I said, okay, let's put those two beliefs down. I'm just an ordinary person, put that on one side, and then I'm an extraordinary person, which is the opposite or the kind of positive for that negative in the world of duality, you know. And then we did some tapping on that, but I discovered that there was a huge resistance to tapping on that. And this is actually what often happens. You know, people have these negative beliefs and then they go to get treatment and the therapist is trying to say to them, no, you're a good person. Or their friends are trying to say to them, no, you're really intelligent, you know, and they're going stronger into feeling I'm not. You know, so there's a massive energetic resistance against accepting that positive side. So you've got to do a lot of work on the dark side first. And what I like to do is to get people to exaggerate that. So let me go through this example and try and illustrate it. So she's saying, I'm just an ordinary person. So I'm having a tap on, I'm just an ordinary person. And then I'm exaggerating that. I'm just ordinary. I'm completely ordinary. There's nothing at all that's special about me. There's nothing different about me. I'm just like everybody else. And as I'm, you know, having her say this and we're tapping, then she's starting to go, well, her brain is going to the other side. her mind is considering the other side. And she's like, oh, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not totally like that. I do have some things. And when you start to get that shift happening, then you can go to the other side and you can start tapping on I'm an extraordinary person. Now, of course, at the beginning, there'll be a massive resistance to that. And so you go straight back to, you know, oh, that's not true or whatever. So can we just do this for a minute? If you just role play that, it might be easier for me to explain to people rather than doing it. So I'm going to ask you to do the I'm the ordinary person, although I know you're not. There's nothing ordinary about you, Jess.
But I can definitely put myself in that position and can relate. I can relate to it for sure. So
actually, the reality is that we all have all of it, and we can all manifest all of it because we're human beings. And the challenge is that we get stuck on one part of all of our possibilities and make ourselves that. But yeah, we all have parts that can be ordinary as parts that can be extraordinary. So for the sake of the exercise, I'm just going to ask you to role play the person with the belief I'm an ordinary person, and we'll run through that just how I might in doing this.
Okay.
Okay. So first step is just tapping on I'm just an ordinary person. So just start tapping and say, I'm just an ordinary person.
I'm just an ordinary person.
There's nothing special about me.
There is nothing special about me.
I'm just super ordinary.
I am just super ordinary.
I'm so ordinary, I'm boring.
I'm so ordinary, I'm boring.
I'm even boring myself thinking about how ordinary I am.
I'm even boring myself just thinking about how ordinary I am.
Okay, now just take a deep breath. And even as you say that, what starts to happen in your mind?
You start rebelling against those statements.
That's right. My friend David Lake says, in the presence of everything is its opposite. And so this is why when someone's depressed and you tell them to cheer up, they go, rack off. You don't understand me, because, you know, you're not actually acknowledging how bad it is for them. And so when you kind of try and force them to the light side, they go more to the other side. So in this case, we're joining with the negative belief and we're actually accepting it, and we're even exaggerating it and going further with it. So what are some of the thoughts that come up in your mind when you're doing that?
Oh, so the rebellion, it would be, well, not everything would be the first thing. I'm not ordinary at everything. I'd say, let's see, if we're doing this hypothetically, I'll say, I'm a very good cook. I'm mm-hmm. a good friend when people need help. I'm very dependable.
All right. So now we're going to do some tapping, and we're going to do kind of positive and then negative and then positive and then negative, because this is usually the way it comes up in your mind. Okay. So let's start tapping at the, you know, top of the head and then just go down the body points, and then we can go to any points. And just start at the top and say, I'm just an ordinary person.
I'm just an ordinary person.
And then go to the next point and say, except when I'm not.
Except when I'm not.
I'm occasionally a bit extraordinary.
I'm occasionally a bit extraordinary.
And then go to the next point and say, that's definitely not true.
That's definitely not true.
I'm really boring and ordinary.
I'm really boring and ordinary.
And then to the next point, but I have some good qualities.
But I have some good qualities.
And under your nose, but they're not enough.
But they're not enough.
And then under your mouth, I could be a bit extraordinary.
I could be a bit extraordinary.
And under your collarbone, but I'm really not.
But I'm really not.
Okay, and just take a deep breath. So in this second stage, we're kind of going, you know, the positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative. We're actually going with the stronger belief at the moment is kind of the ordinary belief. And then we're kind of opening up possibilities with the thoughts that I'm extraordinary. What's happening for you when you're doing that, even though this isn't probably, you know, the best example to use for you?
Right. So when I'm tapping and I'm going back and forth, what's going on for me? Just it's actually just the continuous ping pong, except it's almost like I'm rebelling against my own thoughts.
Yeah.
But it also feels very freeing, because I'm like, I'm allowing myself to do this.
Yeah. Well, so many people go, oh my gosh, that's exactly what it sounds like inside my head.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's like you're actually tuning into the two sides of you that are fighting, and you're allowing both sides to express. And so after I'd done a lot of tapping on I'm just an ordinary person, and then we'd done a lot of tapping on, you know, I'm just ordinary, but I could be a bit extraordinary, but I'm really ordinary, but I could be, you know, and then we did a lot of tapping on that. Then on the third stage, we're going to see what happens just tapping on I'm an extraordinary person. So just tap now and say, I really am extraordinary.
I really am extraordinary.
I have some really good points.
I have some really good points.
And I'm a really nice person.
And I'm a really nice person.
And I have lots of friends.
And I have lots of friends.
And I'm a great cook.
And I'm a great cook.
I guess I really am extraordinary.
I guess I really am extraordinary.
And take a deep breath. All right, so what comes up for you in doing that?
It almost feels like once I got out the negative stuff, I have a little more permission to let myself think that I'm extraordinary?
Exactly. So what's actually happening here is we're not trying to make ourselves extraordinary or to push, you know, taps. People talk about tapping beliefs in. I don't believe that we're ever doing that. I actually think what we're doing is we're releasing attachments to things that get in the way of us being able to see that we have those sides. So all you're really doing here is tapping the parts of you that are holding back on allowing yourself to see that you have an extraordinary part.
Okay. Now, what about a limiting belief that seems to be very general? We talked in previous interviews about not feeling good enough. Mm-hmm. So how do you think about when people talk about the good side of not being good enough, What do you find that comes up?
Well, most people don't think there's a good side of not being good enough. They think that's terrible. So, you know, they're very in touch with the negative about not being good enough. They don't realize that there's another side to that where sometimes not having to be perfect all the time can actually be quite freeing. And so what we want to do is we want to get to that. So let me just back up a little bit and tell you what happened in my workshop with the ordinary versus extraordinary person. She's actually like, oh my gosh, she says, I guess I really am extraordinary. And you could see her face really beaming. And so she was kind of exploring that side and seeing, okay, I do have an extraordinary part. And, the part of her that was ruling, which was the, you know, having to be ordinary all the time, was kind of letting the other part express. And then a little bit later on, I'm like, okay, now the challenge is now if you stick with that, now you have to be extraordinary all the time.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you do from that? What do you do once you have that
thought? Yeah, so she got it because she totally understood in that moment, oh, yes, if now I have to see myself as an extraordinary person, now I have to make the ordinary parts bad. And that's okay. Sometimes I like that. You know, it's good to go out and express yourself as an extraordinary person. You know, the person who's seen themselves as shy starts out and goes and becomes sociable. And sometimes they overdo it. You know, they overindulge that side of themselves because it hasn't expressed the rest of their life. And then they crash and burn because they haven't learned to balance the two sides. And this balancing process is not just a case of, you know, doing half of each or whatever. It's actually realizing that there's enhancing ways of expressing both, and that both can actually be allowed to express in the world. So there's actually, believe it or not, there are good ways to express not being good enough, and not having to be the superior person. And there are good ways of expressing being extraordinary and being wonderful and being fantastic. In our fourth class, we're going to go into the whole thing of owning your light and your positive side, and this is really a step on the way there. There's a process that a guy named Robert Johnson, he wrote a book called Owning Your Own Shadow. I highly recommend this book, Owning Your Own Shadow. It's a really small book, and it's full of really meaty, good information. And he talks about this concept of holding the paradox, this stuff that Carl Jung came up with. And holding the paradox of the two sides, where both are true and not true at the same time. And, you know, that's very difficult to do, to hold both sides in front of you, to acknowledge your light and your dark at the same time. But it's easier with tapping. So the process that we've just gone through now, that simple process of starting with the kind of negative belief and then tapping on that, and then tapping interchangeably on negative, positive, and then tapping on the positive side, that's partway there. But I've got another process that I use in my workshops, which is really, really helpful for kind of seeing the whole picture. And so what I'd like is if we can go through that, and hopefully I can explain it clearly enough. It's really a fairly simple process of tapping on both sides of the duality and tapping on both sides of each part. So do you want to use the not good enough one, or do you want to use the ordinary extraordinary one?
Why don't we do the not good enough, simply because I think more people might relate to that one, since you said it's sometimes very universal, right?
Yep. All right.
Okay.
So you're again going to be my stand-in person, and I'm just going to ask you to make some stuff up and think of a person who might have this belief and role-play it. So
sure.
It won't be maybe as pure as if we did it with someone who's got that. But I'm sure you can identify with some of this anyway.
Sure. If I'm doing the I'm not good enough because it's so general, can I be a little bit more specific? So can I focus on, say, not good enough when it comes to career?
If you like, yeah, that's where it kind of manifests. That's fine. Sure.
Okay.
Yep. So that's going to be good for coming up with specific examples. So what we want to do is we want to start off with the kind of the negative belief. And we're going to put that, and we're going to do this on paper because it's easier to write some of these things down for tapping through them later.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you to get a bit of paper and write on the left-hand side of that piece of paper, I'm not good enough.
Okay. I'm not good enough. Okay.
And then I want you to tell me what's the opposite of that. What would be the opposite of that belief? What would be the positive polar opposite of I'm not good enough for you?
I have everything I need to be successful.
Okay. That's about what you have. What does that mean about you? Like, I am what?
I am good enough.
Yeah, okay. All right. But we can use those words too. I am good enough. I have everything I need to be successful in myself kind of thing. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So what we've got at the moment is kind of like two sides. On the left-hand side, we've got I'm not good enough. On the right-hand side, I've got I am good enough. I have everything I need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try, kind of draw a line between them, a horizontal line. And then what I want you to do is right down the middle of the page, I want you to draw another line. So now what we've ended up, this is a vertical line. So we've got like a vertical axis and a horizontal axis. And basically, we've got like four different quadrants. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
Okay. And so now we're going to look on the left-hand side of I'm not good enough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when we start it, we can start doing some tapping on that, you know, just tapping on I'm not good enough. And if we wanted to, we could kind of follow that through. But I'm just going to ask you a few questions here. I'm going to get some information. So in the top left-hand side, I want you to tell me, and this might be difficult actually, but what could be good about not being good enough?
What could be good about feeling that I'm not good enough?
Hmm.
I don't have such burdens to succeed.
Yeah, so if you didn't have to believe that you were, you know, perfect and good enough all the time, there's not as much burden on you to kind of have to be perfect, yeah,
mm-hmm.
to succeed, mm-hmm. yep. What else could be good about that?
If I'm not good enough, then I don't need to worry about other people's expectations.
Yeah, so everyone else would kind of lay off you and you wouldn't be so worried about other people's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If I'm not good enough, then I have an excuse for failing.
Okay, yep. All right, that's excellent. So we're really looking for, you know, two or three or four things in each area. So we've looked at, we've got our left-hand side, I'm not good enough. Up in the, above that, we've got all of the things that could be good or which might be good about, you know, that belief. And then I want you to go down to the bottom left-hand corner. And now what are the bad things that belief causes you? Like what's the cost to you of believing I'm not good enough? What does it cause you?
Sadness.
Yep.
Costs not providing for my family the way I wish I could.
Yep.
It costs my happiness, my, you know, ability to feel joy in the moment.
Yep. And does it stop you from maybe doing things that you might do otherwise? Do you kind of hold yourself back?
Completely. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so now we've got, on the left-hand side, we've got I'm not good enough, and up the top we've got, you know, some things that could be good about that. Now, some people have trouble finding that. If you do, ask some of your friends what could be good about that, because some of them have those, you know, they're okay about that.
Mm-hmm. And one tip I'd like to share, Steve, is keep asking don't just ask yourself the question once. Keep repeating it over and over and over and over in your mind.
And because then you're looking for the gift yourself. And you can do some tapping while you're asking that, you know, because a lot of people, when I say this, you know, what could be good about that? And they'll go, oh, there's nothing good about it. So, okay, let's do some tapping on there's nothing good about believing that I'm not good enough. It's all bad. It's all terrible. And that can often open up possibilities where you can see that there's a good side. But for now, we're just kind of doing this a little more intellectually. We're getting the list on paper, and then we're going to go through them afterwards. So on the left-hand side, we've got the belief I'm not good enough. Up the top, we've got the good points, and down below, we've got the bad points of that. Now we're going to go over onto the right-hand side of the page, and we're going to look at the belief I am good enough. And up in the top right-hand side, we're going to list all the things that would be good about having that belief. Like if you did believe that you were good enough, if you believe that you had everything you need to succeed, what would be good about that for you? What would that bring into your life, or what would that cause?
It means I can overcome any hurdle.
Yep.
I am good enough. What would that give me? Can it be things? I mean, can it be...
Sure, yeah. Well, you'd be able to afford things, or you... Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I could afford a bigger house.
Yep.
I could afford a bigger house. I could travel more.
Yep. Yeah, you'd be freer to do all those things because you wouldn't be holding yourself back and so on.
Right. And I'd be able to appreciate the moment more. I'd feel more joy.
All right. Now, this might be a little challenging too. We're going to go down to the bottom right-hand corner. And we're going to look at the bad things which might happen if you believe that you are good enough. Now, people go, there'd be nothing bad if I believed I was good enough. My goodness, that would be so much better. But actually, what you want to do here is you want to go to the kind of exaggerated thing. Like, you know, if you had to believe that you were good enough all the time, and you believe that you have everything you need to be successful, what could that cause?
Okay, I would say the pressure from people's expectations that if you can do anything, they'll maybe expect more from you or want more from you. Oh, the other one that I was thinking of, let's see, what's the bad thing? I am good enough.
I kind of think if you were, you know, and again, if you're doing this with someone else, you always want to check out with them, does this resonate for you? What about the fact that there's other people's expectations on you as well as your expectations of you?
Yeah, so a lot of pressure.
Yeah, so there's more pressure on yourself.
Right. Oh, I have one. The inability to be able to connect with other people. Sometimes we connect through the tough times.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's kind of like if I'm so smart and I'm so good and I'm good enough and I have everything I need to be successful, I don't need you. So you might actually be... it could potentially distance you from other people, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so now we've kind of got this quadrant with all these things written down on it. We've got the things that are good about believing that you're not good enough and the things that are bad about believing that you're not good enough. And we've got the things that are good about believing that you are good enough and the things that could be bad about believing that you're good enough. And we've got them on the page with these kind of four quadrants. So what we're going to do now is we're actually going to do some tapping on both sides of this. In fact, there's not just two sides, there's four sides. There's kind of like, you know, the good thing about not being good enough and the good thing about being good enough. There's the bad thing about not being good enough and there's the bad thing about being good enough. And in fact, it doesn't really matter which order you tap through these with, but I like to ultimately mix them up. But some people prefer a formula. So if you do, I'd say the place to start is with the where the strongest energy is. Okay, so at the moment I'd say the strongest energy of this is I'm not good enough and that's bad. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to start tapping on that. So start tapping and we're down in the left-hand corner. We're tapping on I'm not good enough and that's bad.
Okay. Should I say out loud all the things that are bad about it?
Yep, you can do. So let's just tap through that. And I'll, if we do it as if I was working with you, I might say them and you might repeat them, okay?
Okay.
But just say, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
And that makes me feel sad.
And that makes me feel sad.
And I'm not providing enough for my family.
And I'm not providing enough for my family.
And it holds me back.
And it holds me back.
And if I believe I'm not good enough, I stop myself from doing things that I could do.
And if I believe I'm not good enough, it stops me from doing things that I could do.
Makes me feel bad about myself.
Makes me feel bad about myself.
And I'm not good enough is a really bad belief to have.
And I'm not good enough is a really bad belief to have.
It makes me really sad.
And it makes me really sad.
Okay, so we're Put a number one down the bottom left-hand corner. That's where we're starting and we're doing that tapping. Just for future reference when you want to go through this yourself. So if people who are following along, just follow with us and then they can do their own version of this with their own beliefs later on.
Okay.
Okay. And so now we're going to go to the belief that you should have, which is that I am good enough. Okay. So that we're going up to the top right-hand corner to the things that are good about feeling good enough.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
All right. So we're tapping there. Just start tapping saying, I am good enough.
I am good enough.
And if I believe that, I could overcome any hurdle.
And if I believe that, I can overcome any hurdle.
I'll be able to afford a bigger house.
I'll be able to afford a bigger house.
I'll be able to travel more.
I'll be able to travel more.
I'll be able to do whatever I want.
I'll be able to do whatever I want.
If I am good enough.
If I am good enough.
It allows me to overcome hurdles.
It allows me to overcome hurdles.
And I feel a lot more joy.
And I feel a lot more joy.
Okay, and take a deep breath. And each time we're kind of checking in, how's that feeling?
That just felt like a, not great, but a relief.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So now we're going to go to the top left-hand corner, and we're going to look at the good things about believing I'm not good enough. Now, that's going to be hard for a lot of people, but we're just going to go through this and do some tapping on it, and then later on it'll get easier. So just tap on I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
And if I believe that, it means I don't have to push myself so hard.
And if I believe that, it means I don't need to push myself so hard.
And I don't have to worry about other people's expectations so much.
And I don't need to worry about other people's expectations so much.
And I have an excuse for failing.
And I have an excuse for failing.
And that could be good.
And that could be good.
Because if I believe that I am good enough.
Because if I believe that I am good enough.
It might be a bit of a burden.
It might be a bit of a burden.
And you see, I've already started to move over to the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah.
Because the things that are good about believing that you're not good enough are the things that are bad about believing that you are good enough.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I see the connection.
Yeah. Okay. So we can just go straight over there and just tap on that one. That's kind of number four. And so just tap on that part of that. So if I have to be good enough all the time.
If I have to be good enough all the time.
I'll have huge expectations on me.
I'll have huge expectations on me.
People will expect a lot from me.
People will expect a lot from me.
I have to be doing things all the time.
I have to be doing things all the time.
And I'll be putting pressure on myself.
And I'd be putting pressure on myself.
And if I'm good enough.
And if I'm good enough.
I don't need anybody else's help.
I don't need anybody else's help.
I might lose connection.
So I might lose connection.
I'll take a deep breath. Okay, what's happening now?
An understanding more of what? More at peace.
Yeah, exactly.
With the feeling like the battle is, it's almost like once the battle makes sense, it's not a battle anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So what I often have people do is I'll have them say the belief on each side and then just see how that feels. So say the belief, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
And what comes up for you when you say that?
Honestly, a very neutral feeling. So it's not that I feel amazing, but it doesn't feel true.
Yep. Okay. Now, say I am good enough.
I am good enough.
And what's the feeling of that?
Yeah, that feels sturdy.
Yeah. Okay. So what often happens when you're doing this tapping is sometimes people are being like, you know, way down one side, you know, way down the I'm not good enough side. And so they kind of come more towards, you know, being able to be at the other side. Other times they kind of, you know, they go right to the other end. They start to feel like, okay, I am good enough. I can be a good enough person now. And sometimes if you tap further, they end up with a very peaceful feeling on both sides. And the other thing that can happen is if you keep on tapping on both sides, and I'm going to show you how to do that next, it's kind of like mixing them all up. This is step five, where you kind of mix the whole thing up and go one side, then the other, up, down, you know, across and up and down and around and across. And when you do that, it can actually it can be a little bit disorienting at first because you're going like positive, negative,
right.
Positive, negative. Some people feel like, whoa, this is kind of makes me dizzy. Some people feel like, oh my gosh, it's a little bit nauseating or whatever. But if you keep tapping on that, often there's a breakthrough point where you start to see that both of them are true or both of them are not true, or you can do either, or you don't have to do either of them. It's kind of like, you know, just a belief, and you kind of rise above the whole thing. The other thing that can happen is because we see these as poles, you can either only have one or the other. Excuse me, at this breakthrough point, often people kind of have the realization that there's another alternative, that there's actually another alternative that's better than either of them. And so there's a whole lot of things that can happen if you kind of persist in tapping through this. So I'm just going
to
run through.
What's the alternative? Do we have to wait for the tapping?
What do you mean?
Because you said that there's an alternative, that it's not.
No. I mean, there's an alternative belief where the two fuse together, or there's an alternative way of being in the world other than having to be kind of like constantly believing that you have to be one way or the other. Does that make sense?
Yes. So it's really almost about taking this pressure off of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Because, see, each side of these is going to be pressure. If you have to believe you're good enough all the time, then you have to push away all parts of you that are not. And if you have to believe that you're not good enough all the time, then you have to kind of push away all of your achievements and pretend that they're not real and all that kind of stuff and so on. Either way, it's a pressure.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's do the...
All right. So we're going to play ping pong here, and we're going to go through all of them. So if people haven't actually been following this, then it's not necessarily going to make sense because we're using the list that you put together. But I'm going to go kind of... to start off with, you know how we did that, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
I'm going to actually pick something from each one to start with, and then I'm just going to start mixing them up. All right?
Okay.
If you want, you can just keep going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, just through the list. So let's start tapping on I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
And that makes me sad.
And that makes me sad.
And when I am good enough, I can overcome any hurdle.
And when I am good enough, I can overcome any hurdle.
If I believe I'm not good enough, it's not such a burden on me.
If I believe I'm not good enough, it's not such a burden on me.
If I believe I am good enough, I have the pressure of expectations.
If I believe I am good enough, I have the pressure of expectations.
And each time we're here, of course, you're tapping on a point. But if I believe I'm not good enough...
But if I believe I'm not good enough...
I don't provide for my family.
I don't provide for my family.
If I believe I am good enough, I can afford a bigger house.
If I believe I am good enough, I can afford a bigger house.
If I believe I'm not good enough, I don't have to meet everyone else's expectations.
If I believe I'm not good enough, I don't need to meet everybody else's expectations.
And I have an excuse for failing.
And I have an excuse for failure.
If I believe I am good enough.
If I believe I am good enough.
I'm going to put too much pressure on myself.
I'm going to put too much pressure on myself.
I might lose connection.
And I might lose connection.
But then again, I could afford a bigger house and I could travel more.
But then again, I could afford a bigger house and travel more.
But then I'd have to meet everyone's expectations.
But then I'd have to meet everyone's expectations.
But not meeting everyone's expectations makes me sad.
But not meeting everyone's expectations makes me sad.
And believing I'm not good enough is holding me back.
And believing I'm not good enough is holding me back.
But believing I'm good enough could put a huge pressure on me.
But believing I am good enough could put a huge pressure on me.
And believing I'm not good enough would save me the burden.
And believing I'm not good enough would save me the burden.
But I wouldn't feel the joy that I get from believing I'm good enough.
But I wouldn't feel the joy from believing that I am good enough.
Okay, just take a deep breath.
What a ping pong. Man, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. So it's very common feeling, like you're going one side then the other and you're kind of mixing it all up. So what's happening for you?
Is it bad to say that I don't even know what I think anymore?
That is perfect, Jess. Even though this is, you know, not necessarily, you know, all of these things are examples of your own, that is so common when people do this. They kind of go into confusion because you're kind of rewiring stuff that you believed before and you're kind of starting to question those beliefs. Like, hang on, does this mean that? Maybe it isn't good. Maybe that isn't, or, you know, what I've always thought that's good, but maybe it isn't. Maybe, you know, I can be like that, but, you know, but there's a good side and the dark side of that. So that confusion is very, very common. And that's kind of like the middle stage.
So that's good.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, it is. Only when you're confused are you looking, are making new learnings and searching for new meanings. Unless you're confused, you don't go there. So it's actually a good stage to be in.
Okay.
In fact, let's try this. Say, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
And then tell me how that feels.
There's just no feeling around it.
All right. Now say, I am good enough.
I am good enough.
Yeah. What's the feeling of that?
It's pretty neutral, too. It's pretty...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have to be attached to both sides. You've kind of freed your need to have to be good enough versus having to be not good enough.
Wow. Okay, this is good. This is very good to know because I can see some people getting confused and suddenly going to the panic of, oh, I'm doing it wrong or it's not working. But this is a really good sign. That's a big distinction to know.
Oh, yeah. And now what we would do next, you would just keep on doing that process. And if you keep on doing it, it's kind of like holding the paradox, as Johnson mentions. It is a time of massive confusion. And if you did it without the tapping, there'd be massive emotions pulling and jerking you around as well. So the tapping can actually make the process much, much easier. Try and persist with this kind of positive, negative, up, down, you know, across until you come to a place of either peace or a place where you start to get new learnings and new perspectives and new understandings.
I love this because it's not that we're looking for this big solution or big answer. It almost changes the playing field when we do this because suddenly our aim is different. Our aim is peace.
Exactly.
And that's huge.
And really, you're releasing your attachment to the whole concept that you can be good enough, not good enough. Because when you accept the concept that you can be not good enough, then you also accept that there's the other side of that. If you accept the concept that you are good enough, then you have to accept that there's the opposite. And then you have to have a fight with those sides and oppose them. And then there's good people and bad people. And then you split off from yourself and you split off from other people. And what this does is actually brings you back together and integrates those parts.
Wow, very powerful. And for everyone that's listening, if you were at all confused because you weren't writing it out, we will provide a PDF to show you how we map this out so you can begin to map this out. I love this because people are always asking for step-by-step things to do, just especially when you're tapping alone, you can find a comfort in a model to follow. And this is a great place for people to start. So Steve, thank you very much. And I really look forward to our last class.
Okay, great. Cheers.